It's about electricity, it's about clean energy, sustainability, to improve people's lives.
Yes.
We now have a broader conversation. We have Prime Minister Mia Mottley speaking to the need for island states, including her own, to collaborate, to leverage each other's strengths, to drive bigger impact.
If you want finance to flow, you need to see financial players not as checkbooks, but as problem-solving partners first, who only bring the checkbook when they've been involved in solving the problem.
The transition of clean energy will only be possible if we all work towards a common goal. The goal of ensuring everyone everywhere can live a dignified life on a healthy planet powered by sustainable energy. I'm Elizabeth Wangeshi Shege, an energy efficiency and cooling officer based in Kenya with Sustainable Energy for All. Welcome to Let's Talk About Energy podcast by SE for All at the Forum in Barbados. We have Joseph Nganga, Special Envoy of M300. We're very privileged to have you here. So welcome on board.
Thank you.
Tell us, you've been at the Forum for a few days now. What have you found inspiring, engaging, and what do you expect out of this forum going to COP30?
Well, I have to start by saying that in this moment where we find ourselves in a complicated geopolitical environment, it is really exciting to have this gathering where, in the words of Prime Minister Mia Mottley, unless we stand up, unless we share and collaborate, unless we stand on moral ground, we stand to lose the significant progress we've made. But to have the kind of participation and engagement I'm seeing here is a huge positive boost, given all the noise around concerns around development finance, around climate finance, and the general political ecosystem.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing as Special Envoy and M300.
So as Mission 300 Special Envoy, my role includes supporting African governments to engage with the banks and with other partners to ensure that Mission 300 is not just an announcement, but it actually delivers the impact we are committed to, which is connecting 300 million Africans to electricity by 2030. But crucially, doing it the right way, so with sustainable energy, and ensuring that that electricity is driving economic development. We all know that no country has developed without electricity, but electrons alone do not turn into economic development. We must couple the electrons with productive use to ensure sustainability of the electricity supply, but also drive our economic development.
I think that's a great way to actually put it across. And with the target that we need to have this done by 2030, what are your biggest doubts or challenges that you foresee around it?
There are no challenges. If we commit to it, if we have sent a man to the moon, why can't we get electrons to 300 million Africans? And may I say that those 300 million Africans are only half of the Africans who don't have access to electricity. So yes, we have to do things differently. We have to get a lot more funding. That has to be the right type of funding. We have to encourage a lot more African investors in the energy space and developers. Governments have to step up on policies and regulations. And I have to say that they have demonstrated that. Through the Energy Compact development process, governments have committed to reforms across policies, regulations, across utility reform, across interconnectors. So we are leveraging each other's resources as a continent to drive electrification faster. And so I do see a huge opportunity here, because now it's not everybody doing their own thing.
Yes.
It's a very concerted effort. The beauty of Mission 300, and what's different this time, as I'm sure people are asking, is the enormous collaboration I see across all the actors.
So we know you're involved in various activities to bring these African leaders together. If you could give us a roadmap of following this forum, I've mentioned COP30, but in between there's very other many other opportunities for this collaborative effort to be seen. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. And maybe we start with what has already happened to lead us to the forum, because the forum is a build-up from something else.
Yes.
We started with the Africa Energy Summit in Dar es Salaam, where African heads of state agreed to the Dar es Salaam Declaration on Energy, which is committing to electrify 300 million Africans with a starting fund of $48 billion from Africa Development Bank and the World Bank. That has built up quite some momentum coming to the Sustainable Energy Forum here in Barbados. Why? Because SC for All is at the heart of bringing the Mission 300 actors together. Damilola and her team at SC for All have done an enormous job of bringing unusual partners together, including the two banks, to work together in a very collaborative effort. Now, being able to then come to the forum and speak to that in the context of Africa, along with all the other wonderful work that SC for All is doing, including powering healthcare and so on, which are all interconnected. It's about electricity, it's about clean energy, sustainability, to improve people's lives.
Yes.
We now have a broader conversation. We have Prime Minister Mia Mottley speaking to the need for island states, including her own, to collaborate to leverage each other's strengths. Very similar theme to what I saw in the Africa Energy Summit.
Right.
To leverage each other's strengths to drive bigger impact. What I've also seen in this forum is an open approach to the challenges we face.
Yes.
People are not being dogmatic. People are saying, you have your views, I have mine, but we have a common objective. So let's find a common ground.
Right.
Next, we go into G20, and then we go into Africa Climate G20 discussions in June in South Africa.
Right.
And then we go into Africa Climate Summit in September, which has been announced at the AU Assembly in February.
Yes.
It will be hosted by Ethiopia in September. That then leads us, of course, into COP30, and the COP30 president is here connecting the dots between the SC4 forum. He has promised to come to the Africa Climate Summit.
Fantastic.
And then we will be able to connect to COP. But may I also mention that there are other activities that happen every year anyway.
Yes.
Including UNGA and so on, which we expect will continue amplifying this work.
So we have a great opportunity to carry on with the collaboration and keep the momentum going. Rather than going backwards, keep moving forward with urgent speed, as we've noted. So we have a lot of global youth listeners. It would be really great if we can provide an encouraging word to them as a parting shot before I give you that surprise question.
Absolutely. And may I say what we're doing is in service to the youth.
Yes.
My grey hairs will not be here long enough to see the challenges and the impacts of climate change. But you cannot do something for someone without them being involved, because it's about them.
Yes.
So I have to say that even here in this forum, I have met a number of youth who have been at the Africa Energy Summit or the Africa Climate Summit, who are doing incredible work. And they are inviting us to an event in Nairobi in August, which I'm sure they'll be sharing the information on what they're organizing themselves. And then I encourage them to also make sure they're part of the Africa Climate Summit, like they were in the inaugural one. So my message to the youth is, one, you need to own these topics, because we, as the older generation, are looking at it from our lens and what we know. But you are experiencing things very differently. You have mobile phones, you have social media, you now have also AI. You have a different perspective, and that voice needs to be part of and integral to the conversation.
Yes.
I'll give you an example. All the AI companies, including Meta and Google, are committing hundreds of billions of dollars for electricity to drive data centers. You're using their tools and you're giving them revenues. You must demand that some of that energy investment is done on the continent.
Yes.
So you have a voice, you're a consumer, you're well informed. Now you need to amplify that, so you're challenging us to do what's right for the next generation.
Oh, fantastic. So for the surprise question, we've talked about the Global Forum, we've talked about M300, the roadmap towards COP, and the great opportunities for further collaboration. It'd be really good to know, what has Joseph Ng'anga done in the recent past that is sustainable? One thing. It could be as recent as this morning.
2 weeks ago, okay. I've done a lot of small sustainable things, but I think one of the biggest ones is 2 weeks ago, I have planted another 10,000 trees
wow.
in a property I have, because I know that if we get trees going, they are part of helping address climate, but crucially also offer other solutions to the community, including fruits and a healthy environment.
Yes, definitely.
So 2 weeks ago, I would say would be the one thing I've done.
10,000 trees.
10,000 trees.
That's amazing. Well, thank you very much. We've had Joseph Nganga joining us on Let's Talk About Energy, and we've had a great discussion. We're feeling energized and hope you enjoy the rest of the forum.
I am sure I will.
Thank you. We now have our next speaker at Let's Talk About Energy podcast at Sustainable Energy for All Forum in Barbados. We have Nigel Topping, founder of Ambition Loop, former UN climate champion, COP26. Welcome.
Great, lovely to be here.
You've been here for a couple of days. Yeah. Please tell us your experience of the forum and what you expect out of it as well.
Well, you know, I came to the forum in Rwanda, I think, 3 years ago, and I was really impressed then with the sense of sort of practical problem solving rather than posturing or announcements without substance. And I feel the same here, though I feel the conversation's moved on a lot. And I hope people are going to leave here inspired and connected to problem solve to mobilize the finance needed. And that's the key here, is to have people from the different parts of the supply chain and governance around energy all coming together.
Oh, great. Fantastic. So living here, we'll be heading up to COP30, and a lot of the countries, a lot of the people, even in this forum, are going to be involved in the NDC 3.0 update work. What kind of encouragement would you give them as well?
Well, two things. Firstly, one of the hats I wear is I'm on the Climate Change Committee, which is the body which advises the UK government, which, of course, is one of the few countries that got its NDC in on time with an 81% reduction. Yeah, the reason the UK is confident in that is because we've seen the trend in technology in the last 20 years. So we know that we can deploy a 100% renewable energy system in the next 10 years. I mean, the first thing I'd encourage everybody leaving here is to make sure their governments have got a very clear date for getting to 100% renewable plus storage grid, because it's doable and it will help leapfrog, because it's deployable faster, any other pathway. I'm very confident that the Brazilian presidency of COP30 is going to focus much more of their energy on what we call the action agenda.
Right.
Which has historically taken second stage. The whole focus has been on negotiations.
Yes.
There's not much to negotiate. And you can't negotiate the NDCs because they're sovereign instruments which countries will deliver before. So you can add them up
and
say, what's the gap? And we know there'll still be a gap, so that's a bad news story. And you can concentrate on all the great things that are happening, like the Mission 300 that we heard about yesterday, and the increasing volume of renewable energy being deployed, the very serious efforts by small island states to go to 100% renewable fast, by African countries to significantly cut the numbers of the hundreds of millions of people who are without access to productive levels of electricity. I mean, you don't have to go to Belém. You can just get on with delivering your projects. But if you go, make sure that the whole world knows that this is moving in the right direction and faster and faster.
Fantastic. Please do tell us a little bit about Ambition Loop.
I worked as the UN climate champion with Gonzalo Munoz, really in this role to mobilize the real economy, so private sector and states and cities, in support of the Paris goals. And that's what we call an ambition loop, when the real economy moves faster than governments were comfortable, so governments get more confident, so they have more ambitious policy. And you've seen that here in a lot of the conversations here about the importance of getting the right policy framework in order to drive investment in grids and investment in generation. So we kept getting asked to help in various situations, like with the plastics treaty or with the Convention on Desertification. And a lot of our work is about how do we actually bring people together to mobilize finance in that way I talked about problem solving.
Yes, like, definitely.
You know, when we with Mark Carney launched GFANS in COP26, the next year with Mahmoud Mohiedin, who was the Egyptian champion, we got kind of bored of capital providers saying, we got loads of capital, there's no good projects.
Yes.
And then developers saying, we got great projects, but there's no capital. We're like, you can't. It's really boring if you're both right and nothing happens. And that's why I like what's happening here. I see there's much more of coming together, respecting that if you want finance to flow, you need to see financial players not as checkbooks, but as problem-solving partners first.
Yes.
Who only bring the checkbook when they've been involved in solving the problem. So an ambition that we're really about bringing people together around how we solve those problems to mobilize solutions in support of those multilateral treaties.
I think that's fantastic because it's organic, and also we find ourselves as SE for All in the center of that conversation, especially in the countries as we deliver our programs and initiatives. I'd like to really know what kind of encouraging words you'd like to give our youth. We have global youth listeners on this podcast platform.
One thing I've spent a lot of time studying is the nature of technology transitions.
Right.
And technology transitions, if the technology is small and modular, so not if it's really big, like big nuclear,
yes,
and maybe not CCS, but if it's small and modular, like batteries and solar panels and even windmills, then there's a very predictable process called Wright's Law, which means that the more you build, the more you learn, the cheaper they get. And as, yes, the cheaper they get, then you have a kind of Moore's Law is the famous example in computing where you exponentially grow.
Right.
The thing about that process, it doesn't happen automatically. It happens because smart people solve problems.
Right.
And the thing is, if you're a young person coming to this field, there's always new problems. Like, we don't need to solve the problems we solved last year.
Yes.
We need to use the solutions there at scale. But as we keep scaling up, we keep finding new problems. So, you know, roll your sleeves up, get involved in this, because,
yes,
we need all the skill and all the energy we can to drive massive scale up all around the world. And so there's plenty of work for everybody. This is not something for 55-year-old engineers only.
It's for everyone, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. What would be your parting shot before I ask you a surprise question?
My parting shot would be to have more confidence in ourselves.
Right.
And to have more courage to partner with people that we don't, who have different skill sets.
Right.
You know, if we have confidence in ourselves of setting bold targets and we have the humility to partner with people who know, mm, who have secrets to bits of the puzzle that we don't.
Right.
That's the way that collaboratively we solve the problems and drive this exponential change.
I think that's something we've heard a lot about collaboration. I think SDG 17 is definitely on the
much
table.
But much more now, right?
Yes,
much,
yeah,
much less defensive institutions defending their position and,
exactly,
saying, you know, we were sustainable 80 years ago and we've done everything right and it's someone else's problem. It's much,
right,
more people saying, yeah, actually, we're having to learn.
Yes.
If we're in a learning mindset, then we can solve problems. If we're in a, like, we know, you know, we've never done anything wrong, we're perfect, it's just the other idiots.
Yes.
And actually, there's no collaboration and no learning. So, yeah,
yeah,
that more humility and more, mm, more boldness and more humility. It's kind of a strange mix, but it seems to be really powerful.
Yes, I think with less than 5 years to 2030, definitely, yeah, we have to take that step forward.
Yeah.
So my surprise question
to
you.
Oh, dear.
What is the most recent sustainable thing you've done?
The most recent sustainable thing I've done?
Yes. It could be this morning or a few days ago.
No, I just bought my first electric vehicle. So.
Oh, wow.
Tick.
Amazing.
Actually, my wife, we've just bought an old house. So we're, you know, massive insulation, windows.
Refurbishing.
Lots of solar panels, heat pump, battery.
Fantastic.
In 3 years, when it's finished, it'll be a zero carbon house.
Which car is this? It doesn't have to be online.
Oh, it's a Volvo EX30.
Oh, I love Volvo. My car's a Volvo.
Nothing against Tesla, but no, we went for a Volvo.
Oh, that's one of my dream cars, Volvo, yeah, electric car.
Yeah.
In Africa, in Nairobi,
yeah,
so I can drive it there. But thank you very much for being on the podcast. We have had Nigel Toppings joining us today from the SC for All Forum in Barbados. Have an energizing rest of the forum.
Thank you. Really looking forward
thank
to
you.
It. Thanks.
Please join us for the next episode of Let's Talk About Energy. And please follow us wherever you get podcasts. See you next time.